Hello and welcome to Club King Snake Web Radio. Today we're talking with Ray Wiley Hubbard, and we're going to talk a little bit about his latest album, which has been out for a couple months and is getting some great reviews out there for some pretty big names as well in the music industry, a few you may have heard of, as well as talk about some of the touring he's been doing. He just got back from a tour in Europe, and now he's doing some touring here in Texas. And if we get some time, we may even talk about some of the glory days in Texas music. How are you this evening, Ray?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Doing wonderful.
Well, I'm kind of curious to see how Kinky's doing in the election, but I'm also kind of nervous. I'm pretty sure he's going to win Austin, but I think that's pretty much all he's going to get.
Well, you know, as they say, Austin really isn't a part of Texas. It's just kind of unfortunately surrounded by the rest of it.
That's true. You've been playing around Austin for quite some time now, haven't you?
Yeah, I started off, well, I went to high school up in Dallas, in Oak Cliff, up there at Adamson High School, and then was in a folk group, and then we started playing in Austin, I guess, in the late 60s. There were these wonderful, cool little coffee houses, the Checkered Flag and the Old Saxon Pub, and, you know, just the you know, just some really cool little funky places, and we used to come down as teenagers and play these, you know, folk rooms and just really, you know, fell in love with Austin.
Austin's basically been a music town as long as, I guess, guitars could be amplified.
And before that, even before, I think, amplifiers, I think just, you know, the wooden flat-top boxes, I think there was a lot of music in Austin.
My understanding is Elvis came and played at the old Dessau Music Hall in the late 50s, I think it was, maybe early 60s, and, of course, Willie has been around almost that long, but you've got a birthday coming up too, so you're starting to head out on the senior tour.
Yeah, we're going out to, let's see, well, this Friday we're up at Cactus Cafe and doing a show with Hayes Carl, who I'm a great admirer of his songwriting and his, you know, sense of humor, I suppose. And so we're doing some shows together. We're doing Austin Friday and Waxahachie Saturday. So I'm looking forward to that. Then after that, I think I'm just going to be around the state of Texas through the end of the year, and then I'm going up to Colorado in January. So keeping busy right now.
Well, you've had a pretty busy tour schedule this year. I know that you went over to Europe not too long ago. We had a couple of our reporters meet up with you over there and saw your show there.
Yeah, we were over. We played a festival in Ireland, the Midlands Festival, which was a great festival. I mean, it was you know, Van Morrison and Dwight Yoakam, Tony Joe White, Emmylou Harris. So it was just a great, great festival. And then we went to England, played England and Scotland, and just had a great time. And then came back, and, you know, the album came out, so we've been working on that, working the record, as they say.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that record. Of course, you know, our website name is Club King Snake, and we got our start actually as a snake website, and we still have primarily a snake following. A lot of the people on the website come over to the music site from there. Your new album, or your latest album, is called Snake Farm.
It is called Snake Farm, and as I was talking about earlier, there were snake farms all across the United States, but the one that I'm familiar with is the one in New Braunfels, and I'd driven by that for like 30 years or so. And then one day I just drove by and I went, Snake Farm, and I went, wow, and I went, ugh. And I said, man, it just sounds nasty. And then I went, well, it is nasty. You know, it's not a hospital operating room, it's a snake farm. So then I said, well, what do I do with this? And I said, well, I'll make it a love song. I'll make it about a man who loves this woman who works there. So that's kind of how the Snake Farm song came around, and we had such good response to it that you know, I felt so strongly about it as a you know, the audience, the people loved it, that I said, well, I'll call the whole album, you know, Snake Farm.
Well, you've certainly gotten a lot of attention from us because of the title and because of the song, but other people seem to be taking some notice too. Maybe it's some fallout from Snakes on a Plane. Maybe it's just kind of that innate snake farm, as you so expressively put it in the song. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've written a song about 2 years ago before the plane thing came out, and so I had such great response to it. And so I don't know, it's one of those things that really, it's got such a, working with Garth Morlicks, who produced this, we just dirty, greasy groove, you know, and the guitars are just, you know, just gnarly and raw. And so that, you know, the whole song, it just, the lyrics and the music all came together to create this, I'm really, like I say, proud of this song. So I don't know exactly what it is. It's something people can identify with it a lot.
I know when I was a kid that we'd drive down from Indiana into the panhandle of Texas, and there was a snake farm up in Oklahoma, and we would never stop for it, no matter how much begging and pleading. And, you know, we moved down here to Texas when I was about 12 or 13, and, of course, there was the snake farm outside of New Braunfels, and no matter how much begging or pleading, my parents would never stop. And finally, when I got to be an adult and actually got into snakes, I finally got to go to the snake farm, and it was just a bunch of snakes.
Yeah.
But had I been 12 at that particular moment, it probably would have been the coolest thing in the world. Speaking of touring and youngsters and 12-year-olds, and you had a special guest with you when you went on tour in Europe, didn't you?
Yeah, my son Lucas, who's actually just turned 13, he's been playing guitar for about 2 years now. And he actually played on the record. Actually played on a song called "Old Guitar," and Gerf, you know, heard him play, and he said, Gerf said, you know, you ought to get Lucas to play on this. And I said, well, I don't want to do it just a nepotism thing. And he said, no, I think, you know, he's playing the right licks, so
he's ready.
So he and Lucas, yeah, he was. So he got him in there, and Lucas played it. And so he's quite a little guitar player. I call him Mud Puddle, Little Muddy Waters, you know. And he's been, you know, running around with guitar players like Cody Cannon and Seth James and Gerf Morlix and Buddy Miller, and hangs around with them. And so has met him. So like I say, I'm very, very proud of him.
Well, one day you'll wake up and he'll be playing with Paula Nelson. We'll just have an all-offspring band here.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Well, you know, like I said, well, he's playing with Cross Kennedy and Ragweed. They called him up to play a gig with him up in Colorado.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's going to go up, and Ragweed's going to be his backup band. So that's for about 20 minutes, so that should be a lot of fun.
Well, now that, you know, he's got that all-important Antones on his resume.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have that if you want to be considered a serious blues player. You got to have been on the main Antone stage at least once. And to do it at 13, I mean, that was a really good show. You talked about that gritty, greasy sound, and you were able to get that live. I really felt you captured the whole feel and sound of the album live just beautifully.
Well, thank you very much. It's like I said, these songs are... I'm kind of writing songs now in that vein, you know, where we just really get up there and play, you know, and the whole album, we recorded it pretty much live with George Reeve and Rick Richards and Gerf Morlix, and so we're able to play it live, you know, because we what we did in the studio, these guys actually played, so when we play live, we get that feel, and we have fun with it when we're playing too, you know, these guys are so much fun to play with.
Well, you've played with an awful lot of different people. Is there anybody out there that you haven't played with yet that you'd really like to?
You mean as far as...
Well, Ringo Starr, as one example, Ringo's out there touting your album.
Yeah,
he
is. His website, ringostarr.com. He just, you know, he talks about what he's listening to, and he says, of course, I'm listening to Bob Dylan, Jerry Lewis, Ray Wally Hubbard, and the Beatles, so I'm in with some good company.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd love to hook up with him and just, you know, I mean, it's the famous Ringo, the famous Beatles, you know, so man, that would be a kick. I mean, I feel so fortunate, you know, like I say, I'm an old guy, but I feel so fortunate, you know, in my career to have been able to have seen people like Lightnin' Hopkins and Mance Lipscomb and Freddie King and Ernest Tubb and, you know, Townsend Van Zandt and these guys play, you know, and then for me to share a stage with some of these, you know, some of my people that are just, I admire so much. I feel very fortunate indeed.
And I tell you, it really must be amazing to be able to do the kind of things that you do and to be able to get the kind of things that you do. We talked a little bit about you going over to Europe. I understand you got invited to produce some stuff over in Holland. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been getting into production a little bit, and there was some groups over there, and we were going to try to work it out. We haven't done it yet, but I'm hoping to work with some people in Holland, and of course, you know, some other people here in Texas. I'm getting ready to try to get, you know, do some production.
I noticed that when I look at our traffic stats for the reviews that we've done of your work, probably fully half the people looking at your reviews are coming from Europe. Europe seems to really have embraced Texicana or Americana, as it were. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's wonderful for me because, like I say, I've traveled, you know, to the Netherlands and Germany and, you know, Ireland and every place like that, and the people there are very aware of what's happening here in Texas. I know, you know, that's great because, you know, a lot of all across America, the other states aren't as fortunate to have the radio that plays it and the people and the fans that are really into the people who work here, the musicians who work here. So it's been remarkable for me over there. I mean, like I say, as we've, you know, something about, you know, people, you know, even in Ireland, they love Snake Farm. You know, I didn't even know if they knew what snakes were since, you know, St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. I went, well, what are they going to do? But, man, they love
it. At this point, they probably have pythons in their bogs.
They probably do. But I tell you what, it was, we had a great time over there. But it really is, you know, like I say, the audience over there are very, very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable about Texas music and songs.
Well, I know that it kind of goes the same direction. There are a lot of Americans that are really knowledgeable about European musicians and European artists, but try not to stay abreast of the American music scene. It's to a certain extent, I guess, trendy, as it were. But, you know, it's great to see that the Texas artists are getting so many opportunities overseas that, frankly, you know, you probably wouldn't get here. It's, as you well know, on a Friday night in Austin, it's tough for somebody to draw a big crowd in a club because you're fighting 150 other bands if you're a Texas artist.
Right.
Just simply, there's a mass issue. There's only so many people and there's so many bands and so many clubs that it's sometimes tough to do it, to get a good draw. But over in Europe, obviously, you're probably the only Texas artist that's performing on that bill or something of that nature. It certainly gives you a big step up, too. What's some...
Yeah, they're, like I said, they're very, very kind to us over there. I hope we go there next year, go back over there. I think we're going to probably play the Midlands Festival again and then probably spend a little more time, maybe hit Holland again. I'd love to.
Well, what's next on the recording front for you? Are you going to do any more reptile-related albums for us, or...?
Well, I think the next album, you know, there was an old blues guy named Slim Harpo. He had a song called "It's Raining in My Heart," and it was a hit. So his next record, he came out with "It's Still Raining in My Heart." It's the exact same song, but it's just, you know, he had a hit, so he decided to, you know, do it. So the next record is going to be, I'm going to call it, "It's Still Raining at the Snake
Farm."
There you go.
and I don't know yet. I've got about 7 songs written for the next record, and I don't know if we'll do it next year or not. I haven't really. I'm going in to cut a little 4-song EP with Lucas and George Reed and Rick Richards and Seth James. I'm going to go in and do a thing for him, and so. To answer your question, I don't know where the next record is really going to go yet. I haven't written another song about snakes, but I'm thinking about it.
Well, I don't blame you.
You know, speaking of snakes, the first tattoo that I got is a snake.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions, was talking about that tattoo. How is that shaped up for you?
I love it. You know, I did the album cover. You know, I got the two snakes on the album cover, and so I said, man, I love this. I believe in this record so much. I'm going to go get the album cover tattooed. So I got Right now, I got, you know, the two snakes on my arm, you know, and then Cody Canada paid for it, you know. And so I went over and did it. So, yeah, and I don't know how, somehow, I didn't get any ink all the time back in my younger days. And so my first ink, you know, got this snake, man. That's, you know, I'm part of the brotherhood now.
I think I'm going to have to wait till my parents pass away, at least my mom, before I can get my ink, so.
Yeah. Well, you got to get a snake, man. I tell you what, your first tattoo. I can't think of anything. A cross or a panther or a heart. I went, nah, man. I want a snake.
Well, your album cover is awesome. I have the T-shirt. And boy, I tell you, whoever did your website, that's one slick website.
Yeah, it's a guy named Wilbur. He's a great guy. He only goes by Wilbur. He's kind of like Sting or Cher. Just use his one name, Wilbur, which doesn't have kind of the same ring as Cher, but it's still pretty cool. And he's a cat. He was in Austin, but he's out in L.A. now. He did the album cover and went to Australia and disappeared, and he's somewhere on the streets of L.A. now, but he's a good cat. He's just very talented.
Well, that's an incredible album cover. It's an incredible-looking website.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool when people notice that it's a real guitar and real snakes, you know. But anyhow, yeah, so he's a very talented cat.
Well, you've got the Texas Cafe gigs coming up. You got two of those in one day.
Yeah, we're doing
like
two shows Friday night, 7:30 and 10, with Hayes Carl, which should be just hilarious. It's a lot of fun.
Then you're going out to a bunch of places around Texas.
Yeah, we're heading up Waxahachie, and then I think, tomorrow night we're in College Station, and then Thursday we're in Corpus. Then after that, I think I'm up in Fort Worth, and after that, I don't know, Jeff. I have no idea.
Well, I know you end up at the Armadillo Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one of my favorite gigs.
It always evokes memories of old when you go there.
It's old school Austin, man. It really is. It's just Austin, you know, the people from Austin in the late 60s and 70s that aren't dead or incarcerated, they come there. And it's a good time.
Well, if I get lucky enough to have that particular night off from not having to cover any punk or death metal shows or something else that I've somehow arranged for myself, I'm going to be headed over to check you out.
Well, yeah, please do, because, I mean, that's such a great gig, and I hope to see you if you get a chance to come out Friday night.
If I can, I tell you what, that is one intimate little venue there at the Cactus Cafe, and if you ever wanted to see somebody up close and personal, that is a great gig to do it at, and it's only seats about 150 people. I was just there last week.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous gig.
It really is, and it's just, there's such a respect, you know, that for the song. It's a songwriter gig, man. You got to, like, write your own songs. You can't, you know, and that's a great thing about it. It has such a history of these very, you know, just wonderful songwriters who have graced that stage, so. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Ray, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us tonight.
Well, it's always an honor, you know, to talk to, you know, the Kingsnake people.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, you know, anything I can do, let me know.
Well, I'll be sending you guys a DVD with the pictures from Antone's the other night, and I'll also include a few shirts that won't get your son kicked out of school.
I appreciate it, Jeff.
You have yourself a good evening, Ray.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
You bet.